Welcome to The Burnout Show, a weekly conversation with special guests who generously share their burnout stories with us. We also chat with health and wellness experts on how to best navigate burnout when you're in the thick of it, as well as how to avoid it returning. And now here's your host, Jess Jones.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Burnout Show. Today's special guest is Camilla Gray Nelson. Camilla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Can you tell us a bit about what you do, please?
Well, which hat would you like me to describe?
Give me all of them.
My writing hat that helps women live better lives, or my dog training hat that helps them get along with their dogs and control their kids and their husbands. I mean, I sort of do it all, and it's all interrelated. So, which is sort of why we're talking today.
Yeah,
I am an independent businesswoman. Started my own business about 30 years ago. Brought it up from hand to mouth, office in my pickup truck, visiting people's homes, teaching them about influencing behavior. In my case, their dog's behavior. Mm-hmm. And then have built my business into a multi-million dollar fabulous business where people come to me from all around for help, not only with their dogs, but with their husbands and their families. And here we are today because, you know something, Jess, we're all animals. And once we learn how to influence the animal mind and understand life in terms of nature's overall balance and control of all of us, the more we understand things, and then we can make a positive difference.
Yeah, huge. I would love to know.
It is huge.
It is. And I'd love to know how you started. How did this even come about?
Well, not by plan. I did not plan to be a dog trainer, but I've always loved helping people. And while I was working professionally in San Francisco and then moving back up to Sonoma County where I live now, people would ask me for help with their dogs because they knew I had a way with animals. I was raised on a farm. And so I learned animal speak before I ever learned English. So I understand body language and intent and nuance and how to influence behavior by watching the animals on our farm. And one day I decided I would charge someone for my help, and one thing led to another, and now I make my living doing that. So it certainly wasn't by plan, but it could have been by design. I don't know. But it's really so satisfying to share something that I have a special skill in that other people do not, because of my luck of my upbringing and the way my mind works, trying to figure things out all the time. Should have been an engineer, I think.
Yeah.
But that's really how it happened. And I just followed, honestly, I followed the path that opened in front of me. And that's a lot of my life philosophy. So it all worked for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So what did you want to be growing up then while you were living on the farm? Is that something you're obviously interested in animals, but was there ever something that played on your mind as what you wanted to go into?
I thought I wanted to be a teacher, and then I realized the downside of that. But I don't know that I had a dream of what I wanted to be, except I wanted to be exceptional.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, in whatever you did. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So how do you manage your time and energy effectively today? You've obviously got a lot going on and you've built this business.
I do have a lot going on because I run the business. I mean, and I also write books. Talking before we started recording about, you know, I also ride horses and compete, and there's a lot of things on my plate. And so what works for me, and I realized a number of years ago that I had to admit I wasn't a good multitasker. I think a lot of us think we should be. A lot of us aren't, and I'm one of those people. I'm not a multitasker. So what I do is I compartmentalize my week into certain days, I do certain things. And sometimes each day I might compartmentalize it into maybe two things. But if it gets too much more than that, then I start getting distracted. On Mondays, I do the banking and pay the bills. On Tuesday, I do payroll. On Wednesday, I have meetings with my staff. On Thursday, I have my free day on Thursday and a little bit on Friday. Saturday is back to work. And Sunday, I do whatever, sometimes with my husband. So that's how I do it. But mostly, honestly, and I'm sure we'll get into this, delegation is huge. And it's very difficult for many of us to do that.
To let go.
Let go and believe that somebody else could possibly do it as well as you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean.
Oh, I do.
Oh, yes.
So can you tell me about a time in your life that you've hit burnout yourself?
Oh, I think it was... in one of my many previous business. You know, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I always have to, I have a great idea and I have to make it into a business. And
me too.
And this particular business that I'm in now, I didn't even think that. And it just sort of happened. So the ones that I really pursued, I think there was a time where there was so much going on. Believe it or not, I was designing and manufacturing children's clothing. Yeah. And you travel to New York and to Dallas and you have shows and you find a design and you have to manufacture them and find your sewers. And then one of the big market drops happened. I forget what year it was. But at that same time, my mom got very sick, you know, and she was dying. And so I was dealing with crashing markets, canceled orders, needing to keep a business going, helping a dying mother. And that was total burnout. That was really bad. And what happened was I just got real crabby.
Yeah.
I got crabby and I realized, oh, this is not me and it's not good. And I'm not helping other people by being this way, but I couldn't help it. And I realized it was just that it was burnout.
Yeah. We quite often get cynical and angry and detach ourselves from things that we once loved and cared about.
A lot of anger and self. Yeah. No, not good.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you pull yourself out of that?
That was actually where I got the inspiration for this latest book.
Mm.
It was sort of hit rock bottom a little bit.
Yeah.
Was my, you know, a failed marriage at the same time. And I realized, you know, I got to figure this out. You know, I got to figure out how life works, why things crash for me, why it's not working in my life. And it was a real, you know, I call it my come to nature moment. I was back on the farm at that point, living alone, and I was just watching the animals. And as I'm watching them, certain things sort of come together in your mind. And as I'm watching them, I'm realizing, gosh, they're all very different individuals in these groups of chickens and cows and dogs, but they're all getting along. No one's burning out. No one's fighting. No one's running off to their corner and detaching themselves.
Yeah.
And so I really started to analyze how they did it. And because I had an awareness of animal body language and that unspoken rule of the social dynamic, I was able to piece it together. And then I started applying it to my own life. And now I have a successful business. I have many employees that are happy. I make a good living. I've been married for 30 years to my present husband. So I'm here to tell you what I have to share is very important.
Oh, so many questions from those, you know, few words you said then. I don't know where to start. I might start with, first of all, you said you've got employees. So it must be challenging at times, managing your own health and wellness, and then also having the responsibility of, you know, managing the wellness of your staff as well. So how do you go about that and balancing it all out? I hate the B word, but managing yourself and them at the same time.
Right. Ooh. Well, it's all about understanding what the human animal needs to feel centered and satisfied.
Mm.
There's not a lot of problems with staff if they're happy, if their needs are being met. And I'm talking about their real needs, their internalized needs, needs for structure and leadership and feedback and help. And so that's, and basically, it's going to sound strange, but it's my secret. I manage my staff like I manage my dogs.
Right. Tell me more.
And that means I set out really clear expectations and my boundaries. I am the boundary setter. If I want to be the leader of that pack, I'm the one that sets all the boundaries.
Yeah.
Because that's how animals work. There is a leader, not all equal. There's a leader and they set the boundaries. And then each person in each animal in that pack or herd knows what his or her particular duties are, expectations are, limits and boundaries are. And I make that as clear as possible. But when I train a dog, I make sure that besides setting those boundaries and telling them what I don't allow, I spend just as much time telling them, good job. You know, when they do it within my boundaries that I've set, I acknowledge their effort. I acknowledge their cooperation. And so there's a lot of time we have to spend with employees that, you know, sometimes just doing their job adequately, you can take it for granted.
Yes.
But you must acknowledge that that's an effort on their part, and let them know that you see it. You appreciate it, you acknowledge it, and occasionally when necessary and when called for, you actually reward it.
Yeah.
So it's really no different than working with my horses or working with my dogs. It's boundaries and rules because I am the queen, but the queen is very reasonable and fair and friendly. Firm, fair, and friendly. It's sort of the words you use in parenting class, firm, fair, and friendly. It's the same, absolutely the same. But having people now in my business, because I couldn't do all the minute supervision alone. I just couldn't. There's not enough hours in the day. But I do have people that I two individual, you know, vice presidents of the company that I've learned to trust over the years, and they have taken more and more responsibility, and I manage them, and they in turn manage everyone. I mean, it's just how it works. The hierarchy is like a waterfall downwards, but that's how it works. You must be clear on your rules, and you must never be afraid to enforce them.
Mm.
A rule without enforcement is just a suggestion.
Yeah. That's right.
A suggestion is going to either be taken or not taken.
Yeah.
And then if they're not taken, you have chaos, you have anarchy, and that's where all the problems start.
Yeah.
In your business, at your home, in the world, we could have many conversations about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you take care of yourself, and what does your downtime look like?
My taking care of myself is all about my hobbies.
Mm.
The hobby is my riding my horses. When you are, and it's going to be the same if you ski or you know play a sport. Generally speaking, when you play a sport, whether it's a team sport or a solo sport, you can't afford to be thinking about anything else but your performance. In that nanosecond, in that moment, you can lose yourself and all the troubles. And if you don't do well in your sport. And in my sport, it's dangerous. If you're not paying attention, it can be dangerous. You're on a 1,200-pound beast or behind one in a carriage, which I also do. So you have to just lose yourself. And it's such Nirvana. Oh my Lord. I go back. I'm lucky enough to have the horses on my property, and their stable is at the end of my big kennel where it's just my private area. And I can go back there. I can sit there all day if I want, listen to my Pandora, you know, groom the horses, not ride if I don't want to ride, smell the air and hear them breathe and meditate if I want to, or just sit there and enjoy. And that is so refreshing for me. Everyone needs that kind of escape where it's they must focus on something totally different. And some people do it through meditation. Some people go get a massage. Whatever it is, you have to release the pressure on that band or it is going to snap.
That's
and not feel guilty about it. Plan it into your days. Like I said, I plan, like, Thursday is my day for my horses, and sometimes Friday. Those are set on my calendar. I don't feel guilty that I'm shoving something else aside, or I can't meet with you right now, my staff, because I want to do this. It is what I do on that day.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And it's just what works for me. Other people may have other techniques, but that's what works for me.
Yeah. So what do you do when you start to feel like you're getting a little bit overwhelmed or something, or someone is stressing you out? Is that if you're not in a place where you can escape and, you know, go spend some time with the horses, what's one of the first things you can do for yourself?
First of all, I take a breath. And then I think about my harmony pyramid. I write in my Cracking the Harmony Code book, I devised, remember I told you I watched the animals and how they manage socially to get along. So I developed, similar to Maslow's hierarchy of needs for the individual, I developed a pyramid that is the social harmony pyramid. I mean, how you can relate to other people. What are the stages that have to happen? And I just start analyzing what's happening based on where the fracture is happening in that pyramid. Is it the first level, which is trust? Is it the second level, which is, you know, situational awareness? Like who really has more power in this situation? You know, have I got anything to say about this, really? Or am I just being full of pride and ego? You know, and sort of taking myself down a notch, if really that's where I should be. Or is it someone just not following the rules and I need to really put on my leadership pants and not be afraid and sort of kindly but clearly make some statements, make some changes. Generally it's the other. It's me thinking I'm too important. Usually, believe me, in a social situation, there's only one chief and there's lots of little Indians underneath. So unless you're at the top, you're not. you have to accept it, and you will get more of what you want by being that cooperative coworker, or I hate the word subordinate, but non-boss. You're being a non-boss. Because at that point, it's all about, do they like you? If you do not have true legitimate power, you must foster friendship to get what you want. There is no other way, because you have no legitimate right to anything. If you don't have the power to back it up and the legitimacy of status. That's the big one. But once I learned about that, that's when my life changed. When I stopped thinking I was all that in a bag of chips, when I stopped thinking everybody owes me something because I'm educated, I'm a woman, I'm smart, I'm blah, blah, blah. No one gives a you know what about that. They just, if they like you, you're going to get what you want. And if you're the boss, you still have to be liked, but you act appropriately and not, you don't act like a doormat if you have legitimate power. It's a tricky thing. That's why that second tier on the pyramid is situational awareness. What is your status? What is that situation? You know, are you the windshield or the bug in that situation? You got to figure it out, because from there comes all your action plan.
Yeah. So when did that shift happen for you? When did you suddenly have this self-awareness that made you
it was right before I met my current husband, about 30 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
A very dark place for me. Very dark place. And so that's really when I started to shift that understanding, and I started to apply it to my life. And lo and behold, Mother Nature's not so stupid.
Yeah.
She's really got the secret. Now, you know, you don't always like what she has to say. One of my favorite quotes, I think I used it in my book, was by Gloria Steinem. Mm-hmm. And what Gloria said was, the truth will set you free. But first, it will piss you off.
Piss you off, yeah. I love that quote too.
I love it. I put it in the beginning of one of my chapters because I just think that's so true.
Yeah.
It will set you free, but it's going to really, really bring you the wrong way. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So what are you most excited about in your life right now, Camilla?
I don't know. Everything. I'm excited about taking more time for myself. Yeah, I am. Now that I've learned and we can talk about delegation, but now that I've learned to trust others to do some of the things that I don't need to do, there's certain things that only I can do.
Sure.
Creative part of my business and, you know, creating new platforms and that's me. I don't need to do payroll. I don't need to do all the, you know, the paperwork for the, you know, quarterly reports. I don't need to do that. And even my main customer facing information and customer facing relationships, I don't need to be the only person who does that. So now I'm really excited about possibly taking a vacation that's longer than 3 days, you know.
What a treat.
I actually did take a vacation a couple of years ago when we could still travel.
Yes.
We were gone for 3 weeks. Oh my Lord, I thought I was going to die. But but lo and behold, nothing burned down, nothing worked. Amazing. The company was still running when I got back.
that was a good lesson
for me, right?
Absolutely.
I'd love to do more travel, you know, here and there. Just, you know, life is short, and I want to do that. And then I'm excited about building other platforms out, both my speaking career about what we're talking about relationships, and really looking at all sorts of relationships in the office as well as home and personal, getting ahead by getting along. I mean, it's a concept, and I'd love to build out that more.
Yeah.
And really excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Does anything keep you up at night, good or bad?
Oh, God. The only thing that keeps me up at night is, because I said, remember, I don't multitask well. When there's so many things on my list, I have to get done, and deadlines and things like that, then I literally don't sleep well. I'm a really good sleeper normally. I do have a hard time with the current state of the world and business and where we're all going with all of this. So I'm looking at doing more online work that can see us through if we in fact find in-person things limited in the near foreseeable future. So on that, I mean, I really feel you have to, if you have a business and something that is sustainable, you must be ahead of the curve and not behind it. You can't play catch up. You've got to think ahead, outside the box. And that's always been my mantra, which I think is, you know, why we've been successful and why we've sustained ourselves over all this. So,
What's something you've done that you're most proud of?
Well, I won a wonderful award few years ago, I was named the Woman Entrepreneur of the Year in my Northern California area. Amazing. And that was huge. I mean, I was really, really proud of that. That was just a great honor. And that was for my, you know, my dog training business. But but I'm not just a dog trainer. I mean, I'm a life coach. My specialty is women. Teach women how to influence. Get with the influence others, and basically I use dogs as a tool, as a platform, but the message is much larger.
Yes.
And I think that's why it was so interesting to people, and the books I've published and that kind of thing. But that was just a fabulous honor, and that was, you know, one of the high points.
Yeah, amazing. What are you most grateful for right now?
I'm grateful for everything. And that's one of my mantras that I talk about, is being in a perpetual state of gratefulness.
Mm.
I'm grateful for every customer that comes my way. I'm grateful for every day I breathe and I'm healthy. I'm grateful for living in peace. I'm grateful for having opportunities. I'm grateful for a wonderful husband. I'm really grateful for my health right now. This is a life where, you know, I'm a lot of friends that, you know, once you reach a certain age, I just heard from another one today I'm going to lose. And I'm kind of back on my heels today about that. But more grateful for every day that I'm given here. And I'm really dedicated to make every day count. I mean, life is short, but it is short. And every day we should be doing something to make the world a better place. I feel like I have a message that helps women in particular live a happier life, a more fulfilled life, a more successful life. I don't mean money and fame. I mean just success, getting what you want and being accomplished, even if it's just accomplished in having wonderful children, great relationship, those kinds of things. That's really what keeps me going and what I'm grateful for, that I have something to add, have something to offer, because you can't just take up space and breathe the air and, you know, and then be gone. I mean, how selfish is that, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Finally, what's one piece of advice you'd share with someone listening today who's struggling or going through burnout themselves?
Besides the thing I've said, here's the best piece of advice I could ever give anyone, and that is, none of your personal struggles are anyone else's fault. No one owes you anything. Because if we take the cover of victimhood or the assumption of entitlement, both of those things create negativity. Both of those things create sadness, anger, frustration. And it's just not the way life is. No one owes you anything. This life, you make your own opportunities. You really do. And things that you fail at, don't be looking elsewhere to cast blame. Look inward. That's what I did 30 years ago. I was always blaming somebody else. It was his fault, their fault. No, you know what? It was my fault. Because I was too proud, too self-absorbed, too entitled. Once I got over that and I realized, you know what? Put on your big girl pants, pull yourself up, take responsibility, smile and go forward. I've changed.
Yeah. Amazing. Camilla, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
It's wonderful. Great to meet you. Thank you, Jess.
I hope you enjoyed today's chat with Camilla Gray Nelson. If you are looking for some further support with managing or avoiding burnout, the Breaking Up with Burnout mini course is available now. You'll get access to 3 modules that cover life, work, and burnout, which you can move through at your own pace. Head to the link in our show notes to find out more, or go to theburnoutclub.com/breakingupwithburnout. Thanks for listening today. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us. If you're suffering from burnout or want some tips on how to avoid it, join our Facebook group, the Burnout Club Community. If you've gotten something out of today's episode, we'd love your review. Simply click the link in the show notes to share your thoughts. Until next time, go gently.